जय राधा माधवा कुंज माधवा कुंज बिहारी। गोपीजना वल्लभा गिरीवरधारी, गोपीजना वल्लभा गिरीवरधारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट 45। दिस इज टुडेज Christmas, and this is a Christmas verse. You will see. You will see. Atha Bhagavan Vayamadhuna Tvad Avaloka Parimrishtaya Malaha Sura Rishina Yat Katitam तावकेन कथम अन्यता भवति। अथ भगवन् वयम् अधुना त्वद् अवलोक परिमिष्टाय मलाः परिमृष्टाशय सॉरी त्वद् अवलोक परिमृष्टाशय मलाः सुरऋषिणा यत् कथितम् तावकेन कथम् अन्यथा भवति अथ भगवन् परिमिष्टाशयामलम् सुरऋषिणा यत् कथितम् तावकेन कथम् यथा भवति अथ भगवन् त्वदवलोक परिमृष्टाशयामलः सुरऋषिणा यत् कथितम् तावकेन कथम् अन्यथा भवति अथ भगवन् वयम् अधुना तव लोक परिमृष्टाशयामलः सुरऋषिणा यत् कथितम् तावकेन कथम् अन्यथा भवति Atha, therefore, Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vayam, we, Aduna, at the present moment, Tvat Avaloka, by seeing you, Parimrushta, wiped away, Ashaya Malaha, contaminated desires in the heart. Sura Rushina, by the great sages, by the great sage of the demigods, Narada, yat, which, kathitam, spoken, tavakena, who is your devotee, katham, how, anyatha, otherwise, bhavati, can it be? So translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Therefore, my dear Lord, simply seeing you has now wiped away all the contamination of sinful activities and their results of material attachment and lusty desires, which always filled my mind and the core of my heart. Whatever is predicted by the great sage Narada Muni cannot be otherwise. In other words, I have obtained your audience as a result of being trained by Narada Muni. Purport. This is the process of the perfect way. One must take lessons from authorities like Narada, Vyasa, and Asita and follow their principles. Then one will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead even with one's own eyes. One only needs training. Atha Shri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grahyam indriyehi. With our blunt eyes and other senses, we cannot perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if we engage our senses in the service of the Lord, according to the instructions of the authorities, it will be possible to see Him. As soon as one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the sinful reactions in the core of one's heart are certainly vanquished. Christmas verse, yes, you see? Huh? That and that the access to God cannot be without the pure devotee. So that's the main principle here, because we hear only through Jesus, otherwise you go to hell. The point is, only through a teacher or a guru can one have access to Krishna, otherwise it is hellish. That is true. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So let's see the verse first and then we'll get into the purport. It begins with Atha. Atha means therefore. Whenever in Bhagavatam, the verse begins with Atha, it means it's a summary verse. He is summarizing all his realizations from the previous verses and saying the fact that I received a mantra from Sri Narada Muni. The fact that he taught me how to chant that mantra. The fact that I've come in your presence. And the fact that I've been able to express these realizations is because of Sri Narada Muni's mercy. Atha Bhagavan. Vayam Adhuna. Vayam means we. So generally, there are two ways of identifying oneself. One is as aham, first person, or generally as vayam, we. Both are appropriate. Generally a person doesn't say so much as I, because sometimes it sounds egotistical. So they use the word we, vayam. Also, there are no multiple people here. It's only Chitraketu speaking to Lord Sankarshan. If it's a group and they say Vayam, like when Suta Goswami speaks to the sages of Naimisharanya, and they're really, really excited and enthused by hearing Bhagavatam, they begin the verse with Vayam Navitrupyamaha. We are not satisfied. We want more. Vayam Navitrupyamaha. We want to hear more. So much so that sadhu sadhu pade pade. Svadhu svadhu pade pade. Every moment we are getting so much taste from hearing from you that please don't stop. Continue. It's we are not satisfied. We are not satiated yet. So this is a non-egotistical vayam. We. And adhuna, at this very moment, the fact that I am able to see you at this moment, Krishna, is because of Narada Muni's mercy. Tvad avaloka. Tvad avaloka. Avaloka means to see. To see you, what is the consequence of seeing Krishna? Parimrishta ashaya malaha. Parimrishta means wiped away. Ashaya malaha. Mala means contamination. In Sanskrit, mala also means stool because it is contaminated, it's dirty. It's something we clean ourselves away from. So he says, malaha, ashaya mala. Ashaya, ashaya means desires. So in the material realm or in the conditioned state, we should be very confident that our desires are contaminated. And if there is a doubt, you read Bhagavatam. And you see personalities like Chitraketu, they're expressing, before I met you, before I saw you, all my desires were contaminated. And Prabhupada, perfect to the mood, elaborates that. He says, all the contamination of sinful activities and the results of the material attachment and lusty desires. Sinful activities result in lusty desires, even more lusty desires, and material attachment. So we're going to discuss this a little bit. And he says, which always filled my mind and the core of my heart. What is the... Maybe I should ask. Okay. When he says, filled my mind and the core of my heart, what is the connection between the mind and the heart? In many cases, we use them to be the same. In this particular case, let's go one layer deeper. What is the connection between the mind and the heart? Where is the mic for Paramji?
Thank you. When the mind is not fixed on God, the intelligence is not a transcendental intelligence. Mm-hmm. When the intelligence is not pure, then there is there is no steady mind.
Right.
When there is no steady mind, there is no peace. Mm-hmm. When there is no peace, there is no sukham. There is no
Right.
What is that one?
So, what is the connection between the mind and the heart?
So, when heart is filled with the feeling of God, is connected to the God, then there is automatically there is a peace in the mind. The mind stop wavering.
Okay. So, when let's say in this case, he's saying that contaminated, right? So, lusty desires are there in the mind. What happens to the heart? Go ahead. Your mic's waiting for you.
Can you ask the question? Because I was going to kind of...
Prabhupada writes, which always filled my mind and the core of my heart.
Well, I was thinking in terms of when the grace of the consciousness is elaborated in chapter 3 of the Gita, like the body, the mind, the intelligence, or in chapter 7, the false ego. So it's said that the soul is situated in the heart, and right next to the, I guess, heart, the soul or heart is the false ego.
Right.
And then if, you know, we have this false ego mentality, and automatically our mind is going to be contaminated because, as Prabhupada said, like half the... to cut the half of a chicken, you know what I'm talking about. If your math problem, if the first part of the math problem is wrong, then even if everything else is, you know, incorrect, it's going to all be incorrect if, you know, we have the false ego next to the heart, so our mind is going to be contaminated. So that's the kind of conception.
That's also a good way of saying it. What else? Are there other ways of saying it? Yes, Yamuna Jivana. By the way, first of all, let's welcome Yamuna Jivana Prabhu from St. Louis is visiting us. Sorry, he's from St. Louis. He doesn't know how to turn the mic on.
There you go. Haribol. they don't have mics in St. Louis.
Yeah, I know.
So, at the heart level, the soul chooses to be away from Krishna. And then that manifests in modes of nature that capture the mind. And it projects out as various material desires.
So where do desires reside? Huh? Everywhere. Where do desires reside? Mind. Very good. The desire is in the mind. Where does attachment reside? Attachment is a feature of the heart. And these two are connected this way, that as we follow those desires, sangasteyushu upajayate, right? Krishna says that when we contemplate on the objects of the senses, attachment develops. Attachment is a feature of the heart. We say when we are want to be attached to Krishna, we don't want to be attached to Krishna mentally. We don't accept Krishna consciousness in the mind, which mostly we do. Right? The feature of how do we know we have accepted Krishna consciousness in our minds? What is the feature of the mind by which you know? Unsteadiness, something very specific. Acceptance and rejection. I like, I don't like. I like to, whatever, let's say, Krishna consciousness for me means I have to roll on the floor. If someone tells me, don't do it, I don't like it. So I will drop it. I will drop Krishna consciousness. Someone corrects me, I don't like it, I drop it. Because this is the whole point of training. That's what I'm building up to, by the way. So, I like it because Krishna consciousness, wonderful prasadam, super kirtan, wonderful darshan. Someone says something to me, now I just don't like Krishna consciousness. I close the door, I walk away. This is accepting in the mind. But the more we develop Krishna consciousness in the heart, there is a sense of attachment. Attachment is characterized by feelings such as liking, loving, wanting to serve. These are feelings of the heart. So as we just as we contemplate a particular object of the sense or the senses, from feeling we get into from thinking we get into feeling and willing. That is happening in the heart, and that is why we develop these attachments. They are called knots in the heart. We want to be knotted with Krishna, but we constitutionally or within the not constitution within the material world, we are knotted with Maya, because our heart has been sold out to Maya on the promise that there is happiness in this material world. Therefore, our heart is saying, Ashaya, all those desires have culminated in my heart being fully given to Maya. I love Maya. She loves me. Or at least she says that. But I've given my heart to Maya. And today, he's saying, Adhuna, at this point in time, I feel that my heart has been released from that. From that conception that there is happiness in the material world, that there is something to be achieved in the material world. Is there anything to be achieved in the material world? At least from our teachings, nothing. Nothing. But Ashaya is the desire that tells us, no, no, you still have some things to do. You know, some money is required, some this is required, something else is required, some security is required, something. Come on, for different people, it's a different thing. You're very renounced, but something you need here. This is the Ashaya. And that keeps the heart sold out to Maya. And what has Narada Muni done for Chitraketu Maharaj? He's helped him move from that position. This is what he's acknowledging. It's a very grave and a very grateful statement that my heart has moved from that position because of Sura Rishina. Sura Rishi, Narada Muni is called Devarishi. He is the sage of the demigods. Sura Rishi. Sura Rishina Kathitam, by his speaking. Because Narada Muni instructed me, Kathitam. Speaking means training, not just, you know, it'd be nice if you pray to Krishna. It's not like that. We trained him in it. Tavakena, because he is your own devotee, katham anyata bhavati. How else is it possible that I can be in your presence if it were not for Narada Muni? How is it possible? This word anyatha negates any other possibility that I came because of my chanting of the mantra. Because he did for 7 days. He is not claiming that I really chanted the mantra nicely, therefore I am seeing you. That's a flaw. He is expressing that I chanted the mantra under Narada Muni's direction, and it is Narada Muni's direction and instruction that brought me here. Not my effort. With my effort, my heart is filled, my heart is sold out to Maya. How can I see you? But it is Narada Muni who brought me here. Anyatha bhavati. Anyatha also means there is no other process. There is no other process like karma, jnana, yoga. The word anyatha and tavakena, these two are connected. Tavakena means your own devotee. That means another process of karma, jnana, yoga, they cannot bring us face to face with Krishna. How much ever we try. Because in those processes, we are relying on our own strength. This process, process of bhakti, is a purely mercy-based process. It carries us. Actually, when we say it carries us, the right way is that Krishna carries us. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadah. The spiritual master's mercy is what precedes Krishna's mercy. Or say this better way of saying it is, Krishna's mercy always follows his pure devotee's mercy. Yasya aprasadat nagati kutopi. And if one doesn't receive that mercy of a guru, nagati. Nagati kutopi means there's no ultimate destination for this person. Gati is to go somewhere and be there. Right? When you reach our destination, we don't go anywhere else. Until then, we're moving. So na gati kutopi means we're still in the material world. Yesterday's verse, he said samsara. Samsarat. Pukkashopi vimuchyate samsarat. Samsara means we're still traveling. Actually, we're not traveling. It is called we are wandering in the universe. Traveling is something different. What's the difference between traveling and wandering? No goal, wandering. Not only goal, you're pushed by something else. Today this side, that side. So Lord Chaitanya says, Brahmite, Brahmanda, Brahmite, wandering. Wanderlust. That's what we call wanderlust. You move around. Impelled by lust. There's no goal. There's no destination. There is nothing. Just pushed from one place to another place. So, Brahmite. Kona Bhagyavan Jiva. One has to be very fortunate. And Chitraketu Maharaj is expressing, I am very fortunate that Sri Narada Muni trained me. So now, the dictionary definition of training. Here's what it says. It's called training. When used as a noun, it means the education, the instruction, or discipline of a person or thing that is being trained. So education, instruction, or discipline. Narada Muni did all three for him. Gave him education, gave him instruction, and disciplined him. And Prabhupada writes, one only needs training. Then one will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead even with one's own eyes. One only needs training. Okay? Where does the word training appear in Rupa Goswami's teachings? Is it there? I'm sure it's there, correct? Where does it appear? Anushilana, very good. In the definition of pure devotional service, there are four lines. Anya abhilashita shunya. This verse, everyone must know like the back of their hand. Because this verse is the pivotal guiding verse for all devotees within the Hare Krishna movement. If we don't know this, we'll be in trouble. Anya abhilashita shunya. Shunya means null or zero. All other desires, material desires, devoid of. Jnana karma adi anavritam. One is not impelled by jnana and karma, fruitive mentality and speculation. So these are the two lines. The next two lines, he says, anukulena krishna anushilanam bhaktiruttama. And our acharyas described that the last two lines, they are the mahavakya, the main statement of nectar of devotion. That's the swarup lakshan of that's the main one. And it says anukulena krishna anushilana. These three words. Anukulena means in a favorable disposition. Krishna, because one can get trained all over the world. People are getting trained, right? There are training centers here, training that, training this and that. But the main thing to be trained on is how to serve Krishna. And Anushilana. Anushilana means cultivation, practicing, training. Bhaktir Uttama. Without training, there is no way. So what is the spiritual master training the person in? Yeah, use the mic.
The example I heard given, I think it was some Prabhupada class I heard a long time ago, that even if animals in a circus could be trained, so, you know, we could also be trained to transcend the most of nature. So the spiritual master is basically, you know, and the Gita says the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature in chapter 2. So basically spiritual masters teach us how to transcend these modes and come to the, you know, bhakti platform, bhakti yoga, jnana sevate. So
okay, that is one. There. Acharya Nishma, how to serve Krishna, okay, more specifically.
Upa Goswami, by our acharyas.
I can be forced to follow the rules. But what is the key word there?
Spiritual master in Chaitanya Charitamrita has written that they train the disciple in the mood of service.
Mood of service. What does that mood say? I can be forced to follow, right? Favorable. Thank you. Anukulena. This is the whole thing. It's a key word there. We serve, let's say, we are in the military. And someone forces, in the military, you cannot say no, right? He says, jump! You have to say, yes, sir! You cannot say no. When you have to say it, you can say, yes, sir. Like, pick your gun and run 10 rounds or something. He has to say, yes, sir! Like, there's enthusiasm. Inside, he may be thinking, what a fool. There's no favorability. What the spiritual master is training us is the heart. That's the training. To turn the heart from begrudging, gritting teeth to loving, favorable. The whole thing is that in the material world, every conditioned soul is unfavorable towards Krishna. Isn't that why we are conditioned? Krishna Surya Sama. Maya Haya Andhakara. because the conditioned soul is called Bahirmukha. Bahirmukha is, he has turned his attention away. The turning attention away actually means that the heart has turned away from Krishna. Jiva Goswami talks about this. The heart has turned away from Krishna. So the spiritual master is slowly and slowly, inch by inch, micron after micron, moving the heart back towards Krishna. And that is a very difficult task. And that's training. We know when we are training, when the spiritual master forces us to turn, let's say, I'm just doing visually, turn this way. As long as the spiritual master is there, we are turned this way. And as soon as the spiritual master leaves, what happens? Because that's what conditioning means. We're so habituated to vacate the heart completely. Krishna's not there. That's why in the presence of the spiritual master or, you know, inspiring devotees, oh, I must serve Krishna. I want to do like this. We make all these promises and a few days later, back. No? The best visual is we are like the tail of a dog. The tail of a dog, you can put it in a pipe, a nice tube, and pass it through and straighten it up. And keep it like that for 10 years, if the dog lives that long. Okay, 10 years. You remove the pipe 10 years later. What happens? As soon as you take off the pipe, it goes back to being curved this way. Because it's conditioned. So the spiritual master is step by step, instruction after instruction, educating. And here's an education piece. That education is more powerful than changing habits or behaviors. Changing behaviors is an external phenomenon. We can change behaviors, right? Many of us, when we come to the Hare Krishna temple, behaviors change very quickly. The dhoti comes on, the shika soars up, maybe the tilak will also come. We also use language. This is far out, I'm fried out, I was spaced out, I was resting. We never knew what resting meant, right? But now we use language like that. I was resting. Hari Bol Prabhu. These are all externalities. This is the we pick up the lexicon very quickly. But what's inside? We still have, of course, I'm not discounting the power of chanting of the holy name. That is there. But deep in the heart, those old desires, those insecurities, those fears, that anger, whatever it is, they're still there. We are developing sufficient strength to let Krishna yank them. That's a different thing, but they're there. And one who practices Krishna consciousness with proper education, they start rooting out. Education means transformation of character. That's what we're looking for. So when we are being trained by someone, now we'll step outside the spiritual master's role and get into the character of the student, right? We're all students. What is it that we should do to facilitate that training? Education, instruction, discipline. What are we supposed to do? What is our role? Receptivity, to receive it. It's very, very important to take it, to receive it. Now we can receive it with some distaste. We can receive it with doubt. We can receive it with reservation. And we can receive it wholeheartedly. So other than the last one, wholehearted, all other reception or receiving has something there. There's some resistance. We resist training. Why? Why do we resist training? False ego. What else? Yeah, we don't like it. We're so habituated to doing things the way we like. Someone tries to tell us to do something that we don't like, that's where the problem comes. Why? We don't like it. But it's good for us. So discipline means doing something even when we don't like it. Just physically when we see, you know, I grew up watching Shaolin movies, you know, the student gets to carry this water up the hill, down the hill, and then he has to do all these push-ups on his knuckles, and he doesn't like it. It's no joy. But there is a particular discipline the teacher is building in the student, right? It changes the character of the person. Therefore, the first thing that Krishna says, that for one to see Krishna face to face, the first thing required is pranipat, discipline, submission. Pranipat, only then pariprashna. You cannot ask a question to a guru if there is no submission. The guru is not obliged to answer. So throughout history, when one comes to a teacher, one must come in a very humble, submissive mood. That submission means I'm willing to be disciplined before I can ask any question. Only then can I ask. And the price that I have to pay for asking the question is I have to serve the person. I cannot just take the answer and walk away. That answer will not enter the heart. So receiving training is through service. When we serve the person that we are being trained by, or persons, or spiritual master, the heart opens to receive that training. Then there is transformation of character. Until then, there is no transformation. It's all information. This is the problem with modern education. One devotee expressed that modern education can be summarized in 5 words. Information, 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 no transformation. It just doesn't change the heart. There's a bunch of stuff in the mind, and that's it. The heart's not for the teacher. Who cares for the teacher anymore? They threaten the teacher with a gun. But what is a teacher to be? The teacher or the spiritual master has the capacity bestowed within him to make us see Krishna face to face. Fantastic. So that's what he's acknowledging. It's a very, very amazing verse. How is it possible? Tavakena katham anyatha. How is it possible any other way? Krishna is not obliged to show himself. Krishna feels obliged to show himself only when one follows the spiritual master. Then Krishna feels, yes, this person has earned the right or capacity to see me. Otherwise, Krishna is not obliged in any way. Whatever one may say, how much of a donation one may put, you know, millions of dollars, Krishna will be like, who are you showing money to? You see here standing Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi is, you know, massaging my feet. So what your $1 million? The Prabhupada said, Bhaktisiddhanta would say, it's like showing a lamp to the sun. See how much light I have? And the sun was like, what? Are you kidding me? By knowledge, by austerity, by any other way, it is not possible. Prahlad Maharaj offers such a prayer to Lord Narsingadev. Manye dhana abhijana rupa shruta tapa teja auja bala pravaha buddhi yoga naradhanaya bhavanti. That you can, he gives a whole list of about 12 or 13 things that one can be expert at. He says, manye, I believe, or this is my opinion. Dhana, wealth. Abhijana, followers. Rupa, beauty. Manye dhana abhijana rupa, shruta, education, or what they say, great erudition. Shruta, ojaha, sensual, sensory powers. bala, strength, tejaha, one's so-called effulgence and fame and popularity. Buddhi yoga, super, super excellent intelligence. Naradhanaya, one cannot approach Krishna. Parasya pumsa. But how? Following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, one is very easily able to approach you. So that's the trick. How much are we facilitating our own training? How much are we allowing our heart to become trained? We're holding on. We're not allowing it. We have resistance. And our whole thing of hearing from morning to evening and serving other devotees, serving the deities, going out, everything is to facilitate our heart to become trained. It's to moisten the heart, to soften it, so that Krishna can mold it. If it is dry, brittle, you can't put it all together. You have to have some moistening. It has to be soft, so Krishna can mold the heart. Actually, spiritual master can mold the heart as an offering to Krishna. Otherwise, you put it together, 2 minutes later, so we're preparing our heart. And to train us, this is the last point, to train us, what kind of difficulties the Guru has to accept. It's not a joy ride for the Guru, is it? No, not at all. It's easier to be a disciple than to be a Guru. Because once you're a Guru, you're making a promise that I will take that soul back to Krishna. Doesn't matter which lifetime, I will take them back. A disciple has only one lifetime. Guru may have many lifetimes. So it is in our hands to receive that training because it's available, freely available. It's like going to the Niagara Fall with a quarter teaspoon. When there is abundance of water falling, we can only capture a quarter teaspoon. Oh, by the way, if you ever notice, if you put a quarter teaspoon under Niagara Fall, how much water comes? Quarter teaspoon worth? No water, because the force is such that everything drops. Actually, don't collect. You just think that, oh, I have a quarter teaspoon. Nothing fills in it. If you put water, you put a spoon under a force of water and see, nothing actually stays in it. It's coming so much. We learn to receive. As the Prabhupada says, one only needs training. So we are trained at the level of the body. We are trained at the level of the mind. We are trained at the level of the words, the intelligence, of course, the heart. That's the training. The spiritual master trains all these different things. Therefore, there is proper behavior, achara, there is proper speech, there is proper desire cultivation, and definitely the heart. This is the spiritual master's, I guess, work or duty. And our duty is to allow that to happen. The word that I've heard for many years is that we have to cooperate with the spiritual master. This cooperation is very important. It's a teamwork. The spiritual master is training us and we should receive the training. We have to cooperate. So, the visual that we are given is that we are fallen in a deep, dark well. Prahlad Maharaj says, what is the deep, dark well called? Andhakupam. Blind well. Fallen into a blind well, andhakupam. And the only way to come out of the well is that someone who's outside the well has to drop a rope. Correct? So what is our way of cooperating to come out of the well? What do we have to do? Just hold on. Correct? Hold on to that rope. And when he is pulling us out, how do we cooperate? We continue holding on. Don't doubt. Are you slow? why not fast? Or, and it's, by the way, in the Andhukupa, we're not alone, correct? There are others also. And you say, are, this fellow's going, why are you pulling him so fast? Or, slow. I'm leaving the Andhukupa very quickly. Just cooperate. It is between us and Krishna, and we should allow it to happen. Anyway, some thoughts, comments, questions, objections? Where is the mic?
Hare Krishna.
Do you have a comment or a question? Or?
More like a comment, and there's a reason why, because it'll be brief, hopefully. It will. I guess anymore. Anyway, it's a long story, but I'll keep it brief.
Oh, keep it brief.
Yeah, I'll keep it brief in a nutshell. Anyway, Daito Prabhu was sharing me with his dreams. I'm not sure if you guys remember his X-Men dreams and stuff. You guys remember that, right? Himanshu. His dreams, right? About Lord Chaitanya.
Would he be
doing,
okay?
Yeah.
Would he be okay?
Huh?
Would you speak about his dreams in open class?
No, I'm not. Not those dreams, but anyway, it was funny that...
No, we don't want all of Daito's dreams.
You don't want any of my dreams either. But anyways, it's a long story short, but I read those dreams last night. The subject matter came up a few days ago, but I only had time to read them last night. And ironically, it's related to Christmas. I had a dream last night. I never write my dreams down. My mom always like, write your dreams down. I'm like, they're worthless, you know, especially the X-rated one. I'm not going to try to remember those. But all jokes aside, it's basically about concern. It's a long story, but I'll just say a couple of lessons that I learned from them. It's really detailed and elaborate. But I have a question. Himanshu, what's the Calvary thing called where Jesus, they take the cross and walk around a crucifix or whatever on Easter? It's called the Calvary. Does anyone know that? Acharya? Is that what it's called? Okay. And I live by a cemetery that's called Calvary, so with a whole bunch of stones. So anyway, the dream, basically, the whole lesson was about forgiveness, actually. I kind of wrote some points down since I have no other... It has no thing.
Do you have
thing.
Any question or comment specifically about the training aspect, the verse that we're talking about?
Well, I have a comment about the beginning of the class, yeah, about the Christmas part.
Say that one.
So, and in regards to my dream, too, about, you know, the training stuff, the disciples are training us, I mean, the teachers are training us to cultivate good qualities, like you said, mm-hmm. like forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So it's everything is, you know, in accordance with the class, of course, especially on this Christmas day. So the lesson I learned, and it's kind of, I'm glad Himanshu here, when we went to a few programs at UIC, a lot of the students will ask, how can I basically learn how to forgive? And so this kind of, but they said it in the mood of, not in an arrogant way, but they said it in the move of basically, you know, as if I don't require forgiveness. You know, how can I learn? But also, you know, there's a flip side of the coin. How can I learn how to forgive, basically? And so the dream, that was in essence of the dream. And I kind of read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's after I had the dream. And there was, ironically, some points verifying the two sides of the coin.
See the dream.
Well, basically, hold on. I can't explain the details. It's too elaborate.
No, don't do the details. So, yeah. Just explain the
lessons.
The dream.
It was very interesting. Let's see. Oh, yeah, in regards to, since Jiva Dharma, whenever I think of forgiveness, there's a quote in chapter 8, page 116
you
of Jiva Dharma.
The verse from Jiva
no,
Dharma?
No. But
so
whenever
say
I think
the dream
of.
First.
Well, I want to kind of verify some of the points. I can't really elaborate on the dream because I'm just saying the lessons from the dream.
Oh, okay.
Not the dream itself, otherwise it'd take too long.
Okay.
But whenever I think of forgiveness, there's a quote in chapter 8 of Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, an ailing person cannot treat himself. He needs a doctor, kind of like a teacher, like you say, in regards to this point. Just as the angry and frustrated outbursts of a sick patient are excusable, the misdemeanors of the ignorant are also to be forgiven. That indeed is an act of mercy. So in our devotional life, you know, yeah, we always think, yeah, let me forgive. But this could also be taken in an arrogant way. You know, I should forgive you, otherwise you'll fall down, basically. But on the flip side of the coin, this was at the end of the chapter of Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he quotes the Trinada Bhisuni Chena verse. It's at the end of the chapter. Basically, he was essentially saying that there's a flip side of the coin. We also should you know, the humble point of view is that we should also kind of beg for forgiveness, not like the one side of the coin, you know. I need to, just forgive. We also need to beg forgive, otherwise we won't feel complete or completely satisfied. And so basically my last realization, I wrote it down from this point in regards to this Christmas day. I only saying it today because it's Christmas. So the last point I wrote it down, it says, Jesus was crucified and still had the power to forgive. Yet when only our false ego is crucified with the nails of negativity in the form of someone's judgments or thoughts, words or actions, then forgiveness doesn't even become a part of our vocabulary. Even if forgiveness does become a part of our vocabulary, we often forget the flip side of the coin. Namely, I also need to be forgiven and or beg for forgiveness as well. So that was the essential message of the dream and realization. So it's much more elaborate. I'll explain it with someone devoted to
it. At breakfast.
So, yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else? Chaitanya Priya? Chaitanya Priya and then however.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, you just mentioned that means Krishna is obliged when one person is following the footsteps of the acharyas.
Yeah.
So for practical level, day-to-day basis, how can we understand that whatever we are doing is just by the mercy of Guru? Means how do we develop that, cultivate that mood?
Where we should be present mentally when we are singing Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasada, Yasya Prasadat Nagati Kutopi. Without the mercy of Guru, nothing is possible. So just be aware of it and believe it. Not just like believe it, like Jesus believe it.
So if I want to increase that awareness, means I just want to know if
you want to increase that awareness, express it. When something happens, express it. This must be the mercy of my Guru. Hear it from others or those who have that conviction. Be with them. Serve them. Hear from them. Then that conviction becomes our gift. Faith is a gift given by service. As a result of service. He's using the word as a result of. Right? So the result of the service to Guru is faith. We're gifted that faith. Upadekshanti te jnanam. Jnaninas tatpadarshina. One can see Krishna through the eyes of faith that are gifted by the spiritual master. You cannot see Krishna if you don't have faith. Right?
Thank you, Prabhu.
Ajnana timirandhasya. Our eyes are blinded because there's no faith.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I guess I was wondering the context of training, like in ISKCON, because, or more the implementation. I mean, how does that actually manifest in ISKCON today? Because we see. Sometimes the guru is not so intimately related with the disciple, so it's not that he's usually doing that training. And also when you have a large community, how do you see the ideal system working, or perhaps, you know, a brahmacharya ashram or a grihastha community? I mean, it's a broad topic, but the implementation, how do you find the best?
At least in this definition, says education, instruction, and discipline, or a discipline. So, it's not that when we say guru, that somehow it is one person. That's a wrong notion, because one person cannot do. But that one person can empower others to do. And our training mostly comes from the main lesson of being a servant of the servant. Otherwise it's like, I will only follow if my guru says, because if you say it, I don't have to follow. This is not our method. So within ISKCON structure, and there are many persons who are given the responsibility of training, either by their service of such, or by natural thing. You know, like the one thing about training is that structure. You cannot train without structure. So there's structure. Prabhupada created a structure, both an ecclesiastical structure and the daily activity structure. Ecclesiastical means there's the GBC, there's Srila Prabhupada, there's the GBC, there's the temple president, there's the whoever, bhakta leader, however you call it. Isn't it the proper line of authority? That's a structure. And there's also this structure for the day. So when we do things outside that structure, we don't get trained. For example, japa time, class time, whatever. This time, there's a structure to follow. We follow that structure, we become trained much better. We self-styled, it doesn't work. We may do something of our own and there's okay, but if it is self-styled, we figure out our own whimsically, it doesn't work the same, with the same efficacy. So there's structure. There's a reason Prabhupada structured things in a way. So he wants us to be trained. Gave us books, education, gave us instructions for different circumstances, and he gave us discipline. Right? Prabhupada was very insistent. If someone did not offer obeisances, for Prabhupada it didn't matter if someone offered obeisances or not, but he would ask him, why didn't you offer obeisances? So then, no, I didn't feel like. You should still do it. Then you will feel like. In one pastime of Shruta Kirti Prabhu, Prabhupada calls it the hatchet obeisances. Hatchet obeisances. Once Srila Prabhupada was sitting with Shruta Kirti Prabhu, and he wanted something. And he was, because he was with Prabhupada pretty much the whole day, right? So once you're with the Guru so much, and the familiarity is there, because everyone else, if they come only once at, you know, week or once in a day to see Prabhupada, they would offer their obeisances, Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna. But most of the times, if you go in and out so many times to do that, so he would just bend down quickly, the head barely touched the floor, get up and run. Prabhupada called it, this is hatchet obeisances. He corrected him, this is hatchet obeisances. What is this? The disciplining that should be done properly. Like that. So there's education, there's instruction, there's discipline. Disciplining is fine. Taking a bath, doing this, not doing that. Yama and Niyama, right? The rules and regulations. They're meant for disciplining. Yesterday we talked about whimsical behavior. So rules and regulations are meant to curb whimsical behavior. Okay? What is the ideal training model? Well, I don't know if there is an ideal. What Prabhupada has given us, we consider that to be ideal. If it's a congregational group, there's a bhakti vriksha leader whose responsibility is not just to facilitate a conversation, but to discipline within that, to educate and discipline within that model. There are educational institutions, there's a college, there is temple environment. It's all meant for. Does that address your question? Sort of, kind of? Yeah, it is. Jitendra Prabhu and then Paramakaruna.
Prabhupada called it devotional service, not in relation to the revealed scriptures, simply causes a disturbance in society.
We talked about it yesterday.
Yeah. And it says, everybody in the material world is born out of desire and hate. Desire to enjoy separately from the Lord and to hate his service. That's my... everybody acts according to the nature in which he has acquired. And the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So, Hare Krishna.
Paramakarna.
I was just appreciating the point and how we sometimes feel that
I don't have my spiritual master with me over here, so who is training me? How am I getting a training? But I was contempt, and thank you for raising the same question, but yeah, and I was going to appreciate the point when class was getting over, but the thing is that our direct authorities in the temple or where you are serving, that will help to please our spirituals. It's so amazing, Prabhu, everything is so connected. Whatever we do over here, it's directly connected to the spiritual master.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked the same question to Bhakti Anugrah Janardhan Maharaj, that how much
can you speak into the mic?
Yeah, I asked the same question to Bhakti Anugrah Janardhan Maharaj, that how my spiritual master will know that whether I'm doing good or bad, is something the Krishna will reveal him from the heart? Well, how will know that, Prabhu, don't be fanatic. He will ask your temple president.
Prabhupada answered like that. Someone asked, you know, Prabhupada, we don't see you, you're somewhere. How do you know? Prabhupada said, I will ask the temple president. As simple as that. Yeah, it's not like Guru's lying down and then he's saying, Parama Karuna. That's the sixth cookie you're taking, man. It's not like that. In some cases it may be, but it's not always.
How our spiritual master empower the authorities to do the services when either they have ability to do it or they are empowered to do this service, like temple authority, temple commanders, bhakta leaders.
Yeah. So spiritual master, the little technicality, the spiritual master doesn't necessarily empower the temple authority because Prabhupada's already empowered in that sense, but they cooperate together because they're two different lines of authority. So they cooperate, but the spiritual master empowers devotees to take care of his dependents. It's not like he has to do it alone. The servant of the servant, we have to learn this. We say, I'm the servant of the servant, servant of the servant, but it has to get into the heart that another devotee on behalf of the guru can train me. That's fine. In fact, that's better.
Everything is connected. Means there is not only one spiritual master, because he is also
giving the same. There's one Diksha Guru.
One Diksha Guru. There are many Siksha Gurus.
Mm, and everyone else is Siksha. They're all supporting that.
Supporting.
Suppose someone says, you know, my spiritual master told me something. This is my instruction. And you will find everyone will want to support that.
Yeah. And that is a good thing in Krishna consciousness. That it's supporting.
Ideally, Acharya says, what's the ideal? That should be the ideal. And the ideal is also that the spiritual master, before he gives an instruction, will ask the authority, how is this person? What kind of instruction will be helpful for them? Yeah, suppose he says to, let's say, of course I'm not going into this parallel lines of authority, which by the way, everyone should read that document. But suppose a guru tells a disciple, drop everything and go to Kazakhstan. The temple authority, like, what do you mean, just drop everything? How can you give such an instruction? Not that the temple authority can override, but look, come on. This devotee is serving so nicely, they're growing well. So then they're supposed to discuss, you know, what kind of instruction will be helpful for them? Where are they? What is the best thing for them?
That is the most appreciating point, that if the same thing happened in every ISKCON, the temple authority called the spiritual master, that what kind of instruction your disciple need, it will change the whole movement.
Yeah, that's how it is done. At least that's how
I hope so. It should
be
everywhere.
Trained to do so.
It should be everywhere like this.
Yeah. When I meet with spiritual masters, I discuss their disciples with them.
Yeah, I know.
Such and such, such and such. It's my time to complain as well.
I did remember when I got initiated, you called on the very next day that how should I train Param Karuna. Yeah, so I was so shocked that, wow. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
They're reading the verse. I thought they were reading the verse. See, the first point of training is to come, train other people. Because if you don't come on this, what will you train?